Welcome to New Hope this morning. We're so glad you're here. Both Karma and I want to welcome you because you did that too, didn't you? So, yes, thank you that you're here this morning. I hope that you find this worship a sweet, sweet experience. You know, New Hope is a place where we believe the Word of God is true. I remember a couple of years ago, 15 years ago, we were looking for a church, and we went to a free church back in Illinois. That's where we lived at the time. And the pastor said one morning, "This is the Word of God, and I believe it. I will," and use the word, "fiercely, fiercely defend it." I thought, this place for me. I like that. I agree. That's why I'm a member of New Hope this morning. We fiercely defend the Word of God as it's true. If you read that on the wall out there, Mary, thank you. It says the centrality of God's Word. It's much more important than that. You know, you think he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Let's see, you said backwards this afternoon, special music, Becky and her daughter, Saturday, wedding, the Rains. Kathleen's here this morning. She's not getting married. She's been married before. She's already married. And I've always heard it as potluck. What did you call it?
Pot blessings.
Pot blessings. Thank you. That's a new one on me, so what do we do? A week or two ago, Pastor Bill introduced the elders to you so that you would have some kind of an idea who is in leadership in this church. This morning, I would like to introduce the deacons, and they have not been appraised of this, so I'll do it in alphabetical order. So, Sharon Chin, would you stand? Sharon, remain standing. No applause, please, because she hasn't done that much yet. Sharon's married to Jim. Jim was one of the first elders, and I believe Sharon and Jim are the people who have been here the longest at New Hope in this room today. Is that true? Yes, yes.
Joan King.
Joan King, yes. Okay. Missed one, didn't I? Sorry, Joan. So they are people that help form this church and to make it grow and be strong. So thank you for your long years of service. Next in alphabetical order is, you sat down, is Nick Greer. Nick was chosen chairman of the elder board, and he's from... You know, I'm only confused a little bit. But thank you, that's correct. And he's serving in that capacity. He's married to Judy, and Judy's... you're... Whoop in the women's ministry?
Well,
that's different than whoop whoop. Okay. And in alphabetical order is that Mr. Shriver. Dr. John is in charge of the building and the grounds. And he's got the more than he can handle, so he has to have help. So you do that. You do that, yeah. And he's married to Trish. And you know, if Trish calls you, get ready to make a meal. You're not going to smile at me, are you? You're just going to say, quit picking on me. And out of alphabetical order, because I didn't look at my notes, is Mr. Kaymeyer. And... Okay. Bill is doing the money end of it, so he's doing the budget along with the church treasurer, and so that's most of what you're going to do. You asked me if I could count them in this morning, and I'd probably be out there, so I answered you wrong, so I'll find somebody else. And his wife, Cindy, who's involved in many different ministries too. And last, Chair Wasser, who is not here this morning, and she's with the ministries of the church. So, and then she is married to the pilot. What's his name?
Adam.
Adam Wasser, yes, yes. That's the people that kind of are the leadership around here. And you already spilled the beans. Thank you that Bill's not here because he's not here. Is that clear? Bill will be here next week because he's not here today. Okay. I'm going to talk today about choices. We can make good choices and we can make bad choices. We make choices that last forever. I had a couple choices this week. Don and I have a granddaughter named Lauren. It's about, you know, you've seen a lot of her. You've seen her about this big. She had her 8th birthday this week. And it was on Thursday. Okay. So I agreed to go to a meeting on Saturday that I wanted to go to. And the birthday party got scheduled for 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, same time as the meeting. Grandpa's got a choice to make. And so what do you do? Do you hurt somebody's feelings when you say, I'm going to come to your meeting? Or do you hurt your granddaughter's feelings? And, well, Donna kind of explained to me how I should do that. So, so the second choice is you go to the birthday party and they offer you ice cream and a brownie, not cake, but a brownie. And, you know, blood sugar level can be a problem if you don't eat very well, and so what do you do when your granddaughter hands you a nice big brownie? And your blood sugar goes up, see? Lord, I'd ask you to bless this time. Ask you that our worship be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Lord, we want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, just as we've sung about. We're going to do that with our lives, with our actions, and with our words. Holy Spirit, help me to use the words and say what it is you want me to say today. And we do these things in Christ's name. You turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 11. Now, God is speaking through Moses to the Israelites. What does he say? Now, what I'm commanding you to do today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Okay, this can't be too hard. God says, it's not. You guys can handle this. It's not up in heaven. So you have to ask who will ascend to heaven to get it and to proclaim it. Proclaim it. Why? So that we can obey. Next slide. Or is it beyond the sea? So you'll have to ask who's going to cross the sea to go get it. So that proclaim. So faith comes by hearing. That was asked. Who proclaim? So that we may. Oh, thank you. I thought maybe you all went to sleep already. I didn't think I was that good of a... No, it's not hard. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. It's very clear, isn't it? It's in your heart. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Now, those are pretty opposite things. Is that hard to figure out? Life and death, prosperity and destruction? By the way, we're using NIV today, so if you, and like John did, so this is NIV day today. Next week it'll be back to RSV. In 16, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. So they're in the wilderness. You know, Moses, but end of his time, and they're going to go. But. If your heart turns away and you are not obedient, how many times did we use the word obey? At least three. If you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be honored, destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Verse 19, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So where are we? Where have we been? God says, you know, back in verse 11, this isn't too hard. Yeah, I'm not asking for rocket science there. The choices are easy to obey. Life and death, prosperity and destruction. Obey or disobey. Love me or worship some other god. Follow my rules or ignore them. Of course, this was written to the children of Israel . Is God speaking to you today? Of course he is. Okay, so how did the children of Israel do? Did they follow God's rules and laws? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Did they see clearly, or did they sometimes get confused? I mean, I get confused a lot, so they must have too. Old Testament history tells us how well Israel followed God's laws. And you know, a lot of us have spent a lot of our lives just learning this history. The book of Judges gives us a good account of when times of obedience swayed back and forth. In chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, talks of times of worshiping various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served the Baal and the Ashtoreth, false gods. And the book of Judges ends on this sad note. You know what it says? In those days, they had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Now, that doesn't apply today because we don't do that, do we? Everyone did as he saw fit. We have lots of leaders today that do as they see fit. Israel had a series of kings, some good, but sadly many were bad, very bad. Repeatedly, Scripture says of several of the kings, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. How'd you like to have that on your tombstone? Did evil in the sight of the Lord. But it's in there several times. And of course, we know the consequences of their bad behavior. They were conquered, sent into exile. At the time that they rejected Jesus, the city of Jerusalem was burned. Temple was destroyed. Jews were disparaged. The Hebrew people disparaged. Dispersed. Help me out. And for almost 2,000 years, The Jewish people didn't have a home. I'm entering the land. You're entering the land I'm going to give you. If you obey, you can live there a long time. They did live there a while. And they're back again. A miracle. But that's the consequences of some very poor choices. How does this apply to the United States today? How have we chosen in the past? Sharon passed out some really nice booklets on the history of our country, didn't you? Thank you, Sharon. I still got mine. I read it once in a while. To know the history of our country is interesting, required, a good idea. This country was founded on godly principles and God's moral laws. Where are we today? Have we chosen life and death? Spiritual life or spiritual death? Are we obeying or disobeying God's laws? Do we love and worship only the triune God? Do we give praise, honor, and glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit? Or have we found other things to worship? We can get a lot of ideas on what to worship from Madison Avenue, Wall Street, Washington, D.C., Hollywood. How many of our choices is God pleased with? Back to Deuteronomy. When he was giving the choices speech, Moses is like 120 years old, and that's all the longer he lived. And the leadership now passes on to Joshua. Joshua became a great military leader. And the Israelites possessed the promised land. And the whole book of Joshua goes through how they fought this one, how they fought that one, and who got what land, and gets to the end of his life, and his work's not done yet. But Joshua's about to die too. Were the children of Israel faithful to follow God's laws and to love him only? How did they do from the time of Moses through Joshua's military leadership? How did they do? Hit the next one, John. So Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Okay. What's this about? Throw away the gods your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates. What are they doing carrying around little statues, idols, whatever they are? What are they doing? My notes say this is nuts. So, this is weird. Is this how people are? I mean, we're not like that. Are we? Of course not. In the past 70 years, those people lived through, of course, all the adults died in the desert, so this is a new generation, but that people group, they lived through the captivity or the slavery in Egypt, but the 10 plagues showed up. You know, Moses showed up and they threw the sticks down and became snakes, and they turned the water into blood, and they had the gnats and the locusts and the flies and the frogs, and that's in their history. And then God did this amazing thing. He took the lives of the firstborn of all the Egyptians, but if you put the blood of the lamb on your doorpost and lintel, your family was spared. He instituted the Passover. The angel of death passed over. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, how do you push the water out of the way and not have mud? That's a miracle. I mean, pushing the water away, but dry ground. They did that. They were given the Ten Commandments, not five or six good suggestions, as we sometimes like to look at them today. They lived in the presence of God for 40 years. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was there every day, visible. They lived through that. They crossed the river on dry ground, crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, same thing. And they went in and possessed the land. They were successful in their military campaigns because the Lord fought for them. What an incredible history the Israelite people had in that time period. Why would they carry around false gods or choose to worship something else? In the first commandment, it's not a strong suggestion. The first commandment I'll take an answer. Shall have no other gods before me. Period. We, you and I, have a sin problem whenever we put anything as most important in life other than God, the God who gives you life. So how are we doing today? I keep jumping back and forth from a couple thousand years. I hope you can keep up. Those who forget history are bound to repeat its mistakes. Someone was telling me last week, well, Nick, I don't want you to think I forgot who was telling me this, but I'm not going to use your name. That many people in Japan don't know what happened in the summer of 1945. Okay, this is still audience participation time. Raise your hand if you know what happened on December 7th, 1941. Mm-hmm. You put them down so I couldn't pick on the people that didn't know. About June 6th, 1945. Mm-hmm. Doug doesn't know, huh? Pick on, but you think you have your wife explain it to you. About November 22, 1963. You know what happened? Yeah. Okay. Question. Do you know where to find the Ten Commandments in Washington, D.C.? Supreme Court. Right. Why would a country so blessed by God turn its back on the one who gives the blessings? Is it okay to talk to God in school? You're shaking your head like this. Is it okay to talk to God in school? Well, I've got these answers. Depends on who you ask. If you ask me, as Karma, because she's shaking her head, yes. Yeah, it's fine. If you ask the ACLU, you get a different answer. Is it just fine to take the life of an unborn child? Depends again on who you ask. Most of the people in this room or the Supreme Court? Funny how we get different answers. Is it a good idea to thumb our noses at, let me enunciate clearly. Is it a good idea to thumb our noses at moral law? Do we even have to ask God about that? Is this a good idea? I hate to get there and have him say, now why did you do that? I was trying to be funny. Well, I didn't appreciate it. Okay. How did Joshua do with this set of circumstances? I asked John to sing that, and he didn't get there. A good old Promise Keeper song. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's saying to these people that are in the audience, you choose who you want to serve. Yep. You want this little wooden statue or this little bronze statue? For me, my house, it's God. So Joshua, he got that right. Let's turn this discussion around. What are or have been God's choices? What did he choose in the past? What is he choosing? Certainly God chose to create angels. We like to think about those lots and lots of angels. I don't know what a myriad is, but you can explain it to me later. Oh, this is for Wayne. Oh, I wasn't using names this morning. he chose to create matter and energy, time and space, stars and universes, and galaxies so numerous that we are just in awe of his creative imagination and abilities. Excuse me. He chose to create man in his own image. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You created us with some of your attributes in your image. He chose to give me a gotcha experience. Does anybody know what a gotcha experience is? Gotcha! Donna and I were in Jerusalem. And on that particular day, we visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. How many have been there? A couple. Okay. It's a church built over a big rock. Well, a big, big, big rock. It's a pretty big rock. I got some rocks in my backyard that are kind of big. I mean, I can't move them. But this rock is big. And it's got church built over it. And on top of the rock, there's an altar table, and there's a hole about the size of a 4x4 where a cross could have been put in there. And they kind of worshiped that as the place where Jesus' cross resided, sat, was. But it can't be the right spot because it's inside the city walls, and he was taken outside the city walls. So. But this is people in tradition. And as you go down three flights of stairs into the basement, or the lower part, and there's a tomb there, really fancy Greek Orthodox. If you've ever been in a Greek Orthodox church, they do things really fancy. Be nothing like what we got here. We'd have to work on this for a couple of years to get it to look like that. And that obviously wasn't where Jesus was buried, because it wasn't there at that time. But, you know, people, you go in there and you go back out. But over on the side, in this big room, there's a tomb or a hole carved in the wall that could have been a tomb. And if you read Max Lucado, he talks about that in one of his books. Anyway, back to the gotcha. So I'm in this place. As we descended the three flights of stairs, we're following a split in the rock. This big rock, so it splits, you know, three stories, three flights of stairs. What's that got to do with anything? In Matthew, Jesus has just died. You know, it was dark from noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's just died. He's given up his spirit. It's something new in history has happened. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. When I tell that story, I always like to say it was torn in two from the bottom to the top, which is not true. But I like to see if people are paying attention, because man didn't tear that curtain. God tore the earth. The earth shook and the rocks split. God says, gotcha. Gotcha. I did it. Oh, let's see what story comes next. The hardest choices, hardest choice that Donna and I ever had to make about 15 years ago. We lived in Illinois and we're home builders there, and I lived in Illinois for 60 years, so you know, a lot more Illinois than Colorado. But and Donna was born here, she went there, and then she happened to get married to this guy, and so she stayed. I'd gone to the same church all my life, so I've been in this church for more than 50 years, and pastors came around to. And they'd been our pastors for 7 years, and we'd loved them and gone to lunch with them and done many things together. Donna was head of the worship committee, and I was chairman of the trustees, and you know, we were involved. And they come around to tell us that homosexuality was not necessarily a sin. So what do you do? Well, we prayed a lot. Had meetings, got hurt feelings, people got mad at each other, very unscriptural. The devil had a really big part in that procedure, I'm sorry to say. But we had a choice to make. The choice ended up with the story I told you about a pastor. And fiercely, defending the word of God. The choices is what this is about. What do you choose to do with your life? Who do you choose to follow? Who do you choose to worship? God knew that we would choose poorly, that sin would separate us from his holiness. God knew from the beginning of creation that we would have to plan to offer a fix for our sin problem. He planned a long time ago the cross for his only son. How much does God love you? How precious are you in his sight? What did Jesus have to say about choices? Please turn to John 15. It'll be up there, but I want to see if you know where John is, Lindsay. So, in chapter 15, we find the story of the vine and the branches, which is a very interesting story. He says, abide in me. That's an interesting word, abide. Abide in me. You can't do anything without me. It's not part of what I'm talking about here, but that's what's in this chapter. That makes this a neat chapter. He gets down to kind of the end of the chapter. He's talking about or teaching about relationships. This teaching is obviously between Jesus and his 11 disciples. Judas has already been dismissed. So there's only 11. We can relate this to us today. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Indeed, instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What he says there may have been obvious to the disciples. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, and this is my command. Love each other. You know, you can read in the Gospels, you know, Matthew 4:18, I don't have it up there. Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, you know, they're out fishing in boats, and hey, come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. You read that. Jesus didn't talk like that, but you know, he wasn't Swedish, so. And then he called James and John. And it says immediately they came. They left their father in their boat, and then they came. So we can read about how Jesus chose. And I think that's probably right where they were thinking. But how does this apply to you? Did Jesus choose you today? Be careful with the Presbyterians here now. Well, they got picked on last week, so keep it up. Did Jesus choose you before you were born?
Amen.
Amen. Did Jesus choose you at the time of creation of the world? Think about that. How important that makes you, or how grandiose that is. This isn't something that happened today, or the day you were saved, or the day you were born. You've been on his mind a long time. And do you realize that? Have you thought about that? Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Look at the second half of verse 16. Is it still up there? You might go to the farmer's market and buy fruit. Is that what that says? No. You're with me, aren't you? The reason I chose you guys, the reason I chose the people in this room, you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Okay? Let's look around New Hope. There are lots of people showing fruit here. And this list is not very exhaustive, but and I've left out names to protect the innocent. Somebody made coffee this morning. Thank you. Most of you were greeted at the door by people who were glad to see you. I haven't given up on learning everybody's name, but I sure am slow. So if I didn't call you by name, it's just because slow. Well, we got people up in the media booth doing the sound. And thank you. We have people in the children's ministry, so you know, kids are up there and people are doing that. We have people teaching classes. We have people everywhere serving. If you know my wife, Donna, we are involved in the food bank. Are you producing fruit in your life? How's it going for you? How's that working for you? Okay, compare. Let's go to Ephesians. Compare Jesus making you into fruit producers. Is that what you are, a fruit producer? That doesn't make you fruity. That just makes you a fruit producer. Compare John 15, chapter 15, with Ephesians chapter 2. 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That sound anything like what we just talked about? Good works, fruit. And this was God's recent idea, wasn't it? Say, no! He thought about it. How long ago? How long has God been working on you? Giving you things to do, giving you opportunities. How long has that been going on? It says from the beginning of the world. It's okay, so so God figured out this a long time ago. Yeah, I don't know how long ago. I'm not that old. Look like it, but I'm not. Be very clear about grace and works. You're very clear. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith. Nothing to do from yourselves, not by works. You got nothing to brag about. That's what that says. I've lost my place. It says works and fruit come after we have been saved by grace through faith. Works and fruit come after. They are a result of. Okay. There is, or should I say was, that's a whole bunch of theology, a sin problem. Is there a sin problem? Or was there a sin problem and did it get fixed? That's a whole other week, isn't it? Here's God's solution to our sin problem. We must believe in Jesus, his only son, Emmanuel. God came to live with us. He was crucified, died, and was buried in a tomb. On the third day, he was alive again and is now with the Father in heaven. Someday, do you hear the trump? We were here listening for the trumpets yesterday. Didn't hear them. Someday he'll come back to take us to be with him. Have you chosen to believe in Christ as your Savior? He's waiting for you. There are some here today who are hurting. We carry all kinds of hurts. Relationships with our children, parents, and family members, and especially the loss of a loved one. Father, I pray that each of these precious children feel your comfort and your love. There's some here today who need to feel forgiveness from you, Father. Forgiveness for poor choices we have made. Perhaps you need to forgive someone who has hurt you. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, trespasses, sins, as we forgive others who have sinned against us. Father, I thank you that Jesus provides the way for forgiveness, for the forgiveness of our sins by his death on the cross. There may be some here today who have never trusted Jesus to be their personal Savior. Pray with me. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, send your Holy Spirit to live in me today and forever.